Now entering Nerdist.com.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds.
Alrighty. You're listening to Today We Learned. My name is Razzle.
And I'm Dan.
With us, we got Making Wrestling Noises.
That was my rap name. Those are my rap voices.
Yeah!
Yeah.
We got the very funny Jeff Dye.
Here I am. Jeff Dye, civil rights activist.
Civil rights activist. You've seen him on MTV. You've seen him on Last Comic Standing.
All true.
TBS. You got a TBS. New thing on TBS.
Last funny. Laugh. Girl Code on MTV. Extreme Makeover Home Edition on ABC.
ABC. All the networks.
I know, man.
You just need to get on the new
If you own a TV, he's been in your house.
That's true. That is true. I'm like a Ouija board.
He's infiltrated your house with or without your knowledge.
That's right. I'm fine with it. And get used to it, people, because that's my goal.
That's to take over the world.
Yeah, that's true. That's my goal.
So, Jeff, tell us, this is a podcast that's ostensibly about facts, spreading them, learning, all that fun stuff. Tell us a fact about yourself that we might not know.
One thing I'm obsessed with is rats.
Rats?
Yeah. My running things is I do rat facts.
Interesting. Okay.
So a lot of close people know this about me.
I remember this.
Or like Nikki Glazer's like obsessed with it. She'll be like, Jeff, give us a rat fact. And at any point, I can give you a rat fact. Okay. Like rats can eat chocolate, but if they chew on wood and certain cedars, they'll die.
Rat fact.
That's a what? Truth. That's a rat fact.
That's a rat fact.
Rats don't have gallbladders.
Huh.
Rat facts. There it is.
So the gallbladder's involved in chocolate digestion, but it can't handle
wood, some kind of cedars. Wow. Yeah, strange, right?
Huh. I like this. I think this might have to be a recurring thing. Jeff dies rat.
Yeah. The funnest part's just getting to shout rat fact after you say rat fact.
Of course.
Yeah, that's the
best
part.
You gotta let them know what kind of fact they just learned.
People go, that was strange. Why does he know so much about rats? I don't know.
I like saying rat fact.
Yeah. A group of rats is called a nuisance.
A nuisance of rats. That's a good, it's like a murder of crows and a gaggle of geese. A nuisance of rats.
Rat fact
fits.
That's a nuisance.
Yeah, it's
fun. I wonder how they came up with that. Is that where the term nuisance is derived from? Like,
I believe it is.
Nuisance?
Yeah, like, what's that? Like when a bunch of owls are together? What is that called?
A hoot?
No, a colony? No. Something political. And then the politics took it from the owls.
Okay.
Does that make
Congress,
sense?
Maybe?
No, it's like a
Parliament of Owls.
Yes. And then the government took that from that owl term. So I bet the nuisance thing is probably taken from the rats.
Parliament of Owls also sounds like the shittiest band that your friend was in high school.
It's a fusion of Parliament Funkadelic and Owl City.
Yeah.
Finally.
Well, that's a good thing for people to know, too. Like, if your band name's too clever or something like that, usually you're crap.
Yeah.
That's usually what it is. Like, improv troops love to do that. Like,
oh, yeah.
Hey, hey, guys, thanks for coming. We're Yoda's penis. And you're like, this is going to be the worst show ever. You can just leave.
It's even worse when they try to get, like, the pun in there, like Mission Improvable.
Yes.
Or Happily Ever Laughter.
Barf. I'm allergic to that. Like, I just leave. And they go, what? We didn't even start yet. And he's mad at us.
All we need is one audience member to get started.
Yeah, like, I'm going to the bathroom. And then you just hear my car starting.
Yeah. In my car.
Wow, he got really good parking. We can hear him from the theater.
Out of here. Well, there's not usually a lot of people at those shows.
Yeah.
Just the UCB students. Mm-hmm. The ones that have to go to the shows. That's how
gotta get two in if you want to graduate on time with all your credits.
That's how they fill those theaters every day. All students.
Interns. You can intern for free classes.
Absolutely.
That's funny. That's funny. Cool.
I hope they don't hear this and make fun of it and get mad at me. UCB will kill me.
Yeah, well, they might have the Masons.
Actually, that's right. Maybe I'm getting Masons.
UCB is the masonry of the comedy, of the improv comedy.
I love it.
Now, UCB is improv, right? The Second City is sketch.
They all dabble in a little bit of both nowadays. That is, they all have to have hands in many pots because there's so many people vying for these limited amount of spots, and everyone loves money.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I like money.
But getting back to rat facts.
Yes.
Did you know that the origin of 6 feet under, it's related to rats? It comes from a 1665 outbreak of bubonic plague in England. And because the disease was sweeping through the country, the mayor of London laid down the law saying that in order to avoid further infection, all bodies had to be buried 6 feet below the surface so as to avoid, spreading the disease through other vectors, namely rats.
Did not know that. Yeah. Although, did you know that it's almost impossible, like 0.00000% to get rabies from a rat?
Really?
Yeah, they're not as dirty as people think, and they bathe over 7 times a day. They clean themselves.
Is it, well, is
rat
it just...
fact!
Rat is it just rabies, or is it other diseases too?
I think it's just rabies. Okay. I mean, I think they carry diseases like a pigeon would or something like that, but I imagine a pigeon is much more unclean than a rat, but the rats get those bad rap, man.
Yeah. Now, but the rabies is a disease carried by like a bite.
Yeah.
So does that mean their mouths are clean then as well? Because I understand they're cleaning their skin and their fur, but
they brush their teeth seven times a day.
They brush their teeth 7 times a day.
That's a good rat fact right there.
Yeah.
See, I got to throw one in that's just nonsense. Every once in a while.
You keep people guessing. You don't want to get too comfortable. 84%
of rats are Republican.
Rat fact.
That one's not real, guys. That's wrecked. Rat bullcrap.
One of these. I'm from a rat state, so I don't appreciate that.
That's rat crap. That's what that was.
One of these facts is not like the other. As they say.
So tell the people what this premise of this podcast is, or do they already know?
This will be the second episode, so hopefully they're hip to the knowledge. If you're tuning in for the first time,
right.
Basically the name of the podcast, as you've seen on the link that you've clicked, is Today We Learned, and it's basically we troll the net and the web and just the world to bring you knowledge that we've learned recently.
You know, but there's a lot of knowledge out there, so what are you, the listener, going to do? Simple, just sit back, relax, let us do the fact-finding for you, because we trawl through the trenches, digital and otherwise, to bring you facts, useless, useful, anything.
Sure. And the best way to be interesting with your friends is to just, that's a good way to start a conversation. You know, you're in a boring car ride, and be like, hey, I was listening to this podcast the other day, and they taught me this. And then you could just ramble off something as your own, start your own dialogue.
Absolutely. Then you can start, you know, sharing knowledge with the person in your car.
Yeah.
You know, hey, I was listening to this podcast the other day, and there was this guy kept shouting rat facts.
Yeah.
He's got shows on
6 feet under? Where did that term come from? Well, that's interesting you ask, Gretchen, because I just learned that 6 feet under, it comes from an old, you know, regurgitate these as
your own. Or if you're at a particularly rat-centric bar trivia.
Gretchen, also a name that probably was derived from the bubonic plague era.
Absolutely, Gretchen was...
you don't see too many Gretchens nowadays.
It's tricky, it's a tricky one.
Everyone's blue ivy
now. One of these days, you're going to have a celebrity who goes really old school, like Martha or Gretchen.
Dorothy!
That's funny. That's
Well, speaking of old school, Milton Bradley, the well-known, respected board game designer.
He's
got all sorts of stuff.
Not the outfielder who hit his wife in the face with a coffee table, right?
No, not that
guy.
Slightly different Milton Bradley. This is
Milton Bradley baseball player hit his wife in the face with a chair.
He broke a coffee table over his wife's face, It's true.
I'm just trying to picture the logistics of how this would happen.
That's the thing. I wanted more details, too.
Yeah.
Like, when I read it, I was like, wait, did he pick it up and, slam it over her face like a pro wrestler? Or did he, like,
a wooden
take
table
her
base?
Glass?
Like, what are
I think
we
it was glass.
Here?
I think it was glass.
A glass coffee table.
Yeah. Broke it over her face. And she kept it under wraps because she didn't want him to get in trouble with the league or get fired or go to jail because they were married. And then after she left him like 6 months later, then she told everyone about what happened.
Well, yeah, because her face was probably still bleeding and only snitches get stitches.
Well, there should be a statute of limitations on...
snitch.
Yeah.
There's a
6 months later, I thought we were over that.
Coffee table assault has a 5-month grace period.
Yeah, I don't understand why you're giving me a hard time.
We got a new table.
I bought you dinner. You were fine with me for 6 months.
I told you to use the coasters. You weren't using the coasters.
I said I'm sorry. Sure, you got a little quiet when Chris Brown came on the radio every week. So, different Milton Bradley,
the board game designer.
Right.
So, during the Civil War, he introduced the game, the checkered game of life, better known now as simply the game of life.
Sure.
And, you know, it became immensely popular, and they used a spinner to avoid, instead of dice, to avoid negative connotations associated with gambling. You know, you would point fingers, text indicated where you should go, and where you should land on, and interestingly enough, they don't have this anymore, but there used to be a suicide square.
Yep.
And if you landed on that, you were just out of the game.
You had to hang yourself.
Yes. You had. It depends on how seriously your family takes board game night.
Go in the other room. Get a rope.
That's part of the board game.
I had twins
when I landed on that space.
Now it's just Sam.
That's funny because one of the old Monopoly pieces was a gun. No,
that's, that's not true.
They gave all the nooses and the murder pieces to Clue. Clue took all those.
Yeah, they took all that.
Clue's to have an Irishman burning an effigy.
That's the smartest joke you're going to hear all podcasts right there.
It's all downhill from here.
Turn the podcast off. No, that's the smartest joke you're going to hear.
When Jeff's your guest, there's not the most cerebral jokes. I'm glad he's here.
The original Game of Life as well, not only was there a Suicide Square, but it was also essentially looked like a checkerboard.
Mm-hmm.
It was all squares. It wasn't like the windy road and all of that. And the spinner was actually like a modified dreidel, essentially. It was like a six-sided top. That you spun, and on each sides of the spinner were the numbers of corresponding spaces like that. So then it eventually evolved into the bright and colorful Game of Life we know today, with the roads and the cars.
But
and
what a dork! He wasn't trying. He's like, well, people think dice is like gambling, so why don't like
Well, apparently all the board games back then were just thinly veiled attempts to teach people morals, but. Who wants morals when you can win and beat your friends
and
family?
Well, and also, why is gambling so bad?
Yeah, well, I mean,
there's a problem, sure, but there's a drinking problem, and it doesn't mean we should abolish alcohol from the world.
It promoted dangerous activities like dancing.
Gambling is a great
smooching?
Way to...
Smooching? Yeah. Hand holding before marriage?
Ankle displayery?
Sure, all that stuff. But it's like, who cares? Like, why are you trying, like, who, like... It's fine. Kids can play dice without...
Yeah, and obviously it eventually went... I mean, that was just Milton Bradley. I believe more of his games now obviously have dice. But when he first came out, that was his first board game that started off the Milton Bradley empire. Before that, he was a graphic designer of sorts. And the only success he really had was of a portrait of Abraham Lincoln, beardless.
Oh, really?
So he sold a lot of prints. Milton Bradley sold prints of... Jeff, you're a fan of art. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're in Jeff Dye's house, and he's got amazing artwork hung up around his place. And Milton Bradley was a printer. He was a designer.
He was like the Shepherd Fairey of the Civil War.
Yeah, he was the Shepherd Fairey of back in the day. And his famous portrait that made him the most money was of Abraham Lincoln sans beard. Which obviously didn't sell too well once Abraham Lincoln decided to grow facial hair. So
that's like he was Lincoln's rookie card.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to do a painting of just like an old man without teeth or hair, and then people be like, "What is that?" And I'd be like, "Oh, that's George Washington." Like, well, the real George Washington when he's not wearing his wig and has his fake teeth in.
That's like when he's going to bed.
It's like going to bed, G Dub. You
know? That's if you go to like an amusement park and you take off like the mascot's head.
Yeah.
He's a mute.
It's slightly disrespectful, but also like that's pretty real. Yeah, like that's pretty real.
You know, he didn't keep those wooden teeth in all the time, I'm
sure. That's right. It hurts.
Yeah.
Here's something you might not know, these people can learn. George Washington's teeth were on springs that made his mouth open. So all day, he must have had the strongest jaw in the world because he had to actually apply pressure to keep them shut because they would open on their own.
Okay.
And so that was the only way all day he's just biting his teeth down.
Otherwise, he just looked mildly surprised all day.
With his mouth open.
Whoa.
We're really shocking George over there.
Yeah.
That's why, like, man.
Because back then they didn't have a way to keep laundry or like they didn't have like mouth glue and stuff, so like they had to like do the opposite where just keep it open all the time.
Keep it open.
Yeah, it's weird.
Man, he must have had a jaw.
Nice little fact.
Yeah.
You know, well, speaking of sort of outdated traditions, things like that, apparently in Germany, I don't know if they still do this, but there's a couple traditions surrounding a wedding. One of which is there's a tradition where you have to kidnap the bride's family after the wedding. Will kidnap her, and the groom then has to go and find her. And it always starts out at a pub, and anyone who wants to join him, he has to pay them with drinks.
Okay.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
But now, so what's the tradition? Like, so say it again, like, more simple.
So, after the wedding, before the honeymoon,
okay.
The bride's family will kidnap the bride, sequester her away from the groom, and the groom will have to start at a pub and essentially go on a drunk scavenger hunt for his lady love.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's funny.
That's so the best tradition I've ever
heard. Not only does he need to foot the bill for the wedding, but he also needs to find his wife before they can consummate.
Well, and also, like...
I love it.
Maybe if he's just had a long day and he's stressed out, you take a little time. Be like, fellas, let's get around and I'll go find my bride.
I had a little too much cake. I'm gonna take a little break here and hang out with my boys.
I love that.
That's funny.
And there's another tradition. This is after they found each other, called Baumstammschlagen, which translates roughly to tree log sawing, and essentially they have to work together with a giant hacksaw to saw a log in half to represent how they're going to work together on the problems that face them in their marriage. I don't know about you, but that sounds like one of the shittiest ways to start out a honeymoon.
Absolutely, yeah.
Especially after the fun of the scavenger hunt, then you have to just saw something.
You're like, let's discuss our problems. Nothing. Yeah. You're perfect.
You're doing it wrong. It's basically, this is like the German...
I just lie.
It's like
I
the German lie. Prototype like, oh, for the Amazing Race.
You're perfect. Everything's great.
Yeah.
That's the only way to start a honeymoon. So lies.
Yeah.
Build a relationship on lies.
Well, here's something that's pretty cool. So back in 1919, there was a Cleveland Indians pitcher by the name of Ray Caldwell, and he recorded a complete game against the Philadelphia A's, now the Oakland A's, he recorded the complete game after he was struck by lightning in the middle of the ninth inning. He then, quote, shook it off and got the final out for the win.
Okay, now, Jeff, you're a big baseball fan.
Yeah.
What does recorded a game mean? What does recorded mean? What is that?
Right, it means he finished the game.
So he finished the game. Now, he finished the game. Now, when I first heard this, I'm like, holy smokes, that's amazing. But then I realized the ninth inning is typically the last inning of a baseball game anyways.
So in theory, he had to throw one out.
In theory, he could have
still,
only thrown...
He throwing anything after he gets struck by lightning is incredible. Yesterday, a baseball player named J.A. Happ was pitching for the Toronto Blue Jays. And I don't know how this hasn't happened more often. Baseball player hits it for the Tampa Bay Rays, hits it right back up the pipe, hits the pitcher right in the ear, knocks him out, he's bleeding out of his ear, and he gets taken off the field on a stretcher.
Okay.
That was just a baseball comeback up, let alone lightning from nature. You know what I'm saying? That's a pretty big...
Yeah, that's interesting too, especially now in baseball they have to use wooden bats, right?
Right.
Okay. So
yeah, a metal bat would have killed him.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And he would have been pitching too. And this is interesting too, because it was in 1919.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a long time
ago. And back then, it was more typical for a pitcher to throw the entire game, to just play from first.
But lightning has always been as devastating.
Yes. Yeah. Lightning has always been a pitcher's worst enemy.
That's not that 1900 lightning. Yeah. Oh, that's nothing.
That's pussy lightning.
Yeah, it's not like nowadays.
Old-timey lightning.
Well, I want to see how that's possible. I don't understand. Obviously, there was no video or anything, but like, what? How has that happened?
I just want to hear the newscast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to... All the 1920s, I don't know, how do they talk? Get extra, extra.
We got some great news. Yeah. Jerry's on the ground.
Kenny, extra, extra. Cleveland pitchers Ray Caldwell, struck by lightning, finishes game.
Well, it's crazy, too. Like, what? Like
women still can't vote.
I would love to know. He got struck by lightning, and then the coaches run out. I picture the trainers running out, and we'd be like, oh, my God, you were struck by lightning. He's like, I'm fine, I'll finish. What kind of man are you trying to
get? Yeah, right?
Like,
they just gave him a fresh lump of chewing tobacco, pat on the back, and you just finished the game.
Yeah, there's no time to be tough here. Maybe you should go see somebody.
You're not Superman. Hey,
we do have more than one pitcher. It's cool. We can set a precedent.
Nobody's going to call you a pussy if you leave the game after getting struck by life. Milk it a little bit. Get some attention.
The only one who would is Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder if nowadays we'd be talking about it. Like, if they would have come up a podcast like, oh, this guy got struck by lightning while he's pitching. Like, is the reason this is a cool fact is because he finished the game? Like, is that why?
I think so. I think it's just because, after getting struck by lightning, you'd assume that you'd want to lie down or walk it off.
Surviving, though. I'd like to know, this would have been something to look, maybe we'll look forward for next time on Today We Learn, what the percentages of surviving a lightning strike is.
Sure.
Because, just surviving it alone, being able to function is a miracle, without needing, without having any distinct damage.
How would you search that? Survival...
What's the percentage of lightning survivors, lightning struck survivors? We're going to look this up for you while I bring this next fact up here. The blockbuster season, movies, of blockbusters are coming up. Superman, they're coming out with a new movie called Man of Steel, which is about Superman. Now, here's a fact for you.
Not Shaq.
Yeah, not
Shaquille O'Neal.
That
was just Steel.
Yeah, awful movie.
Awful movie. Another awful movie was Kazam.
Actually, that was a cool movie.
Kazam, I didn't like it.
That was the best. That was the best Pepsi commercial I've ever seen.
Was it a Pepsi commercial? I was 8 when I saw it, so it didn't bother me.
It's in that like sweet spot of movies that you should never revisit, like Fern Gully or perhaps Dunstan Checks.
My buddy Josh, he has an affinity for tattoos, and on his leg, He has a tattoo of MacGyver. He has a tattoo of Bruce Willis, and he also has a tattoo on his thigh of Shaquille O'Neal as Kazan.
Wow, the Holy Trinity right there.
Like, how do we get a picture of that?
I'll get a picture and we'll
put it on the website.
On the website here. Back to Superman here, though. Speaking of the movie coming out next month in June, there a long time ago, everybody knows that Superman's weaknesses are kryptonite and magic. If you didn't know magic is one of
magic
Superman's Johnson. Weakness.
Yeah, the Orlando Magic always beat.
They just dunk on him relentlessly.
Yeah, he's like, I'm one guy.
He's like the Washington Generals to their Globetrotters.
Yeah. Can I get a center around here? This is ridiculous. It's just all of them are dunking.
That's a funny sketch. Well, that's a funny sketch idea. Superman playing a game.
The Orlando Magic.
The Orlando Magic.
And the new expansion team, the Cincinnati Kryptonite. It's going to be a rough schedule.
But anyways, there's a. Pink kryptonite. Generally, kryptonite is green or red. From a Supergirl comic book, Volume 4, Number 79, in an alternate Earth 1 timeline. It was released in 2003. The Supergirl storyline had that there was a pink kryptonite that actually gave Superman gay tendencies. Like he was flattering. He was giving Jimmy Olsen flattering compliments about the wardrobe and decorative sense. And,
really made him more feminine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the pink kryptonite made Superman a little more feminine. Which I looked into this on the kryptonite on Wikipedia. I looked at the different types of kryptonite, and there's also a periwinkle kryptonite.
Oh my!
Which I don't even know what the color periwinkle looks like.
It's like a light blue.
Okay, so there was a light blue kryptonite that, according to the Superman Family Adventures, made Superman in quotations fabulous. That's the effect of the periwinkle kryptonite and Superman was making him fabulous.
So not a lot of differences between the periwinkle the pink kryptonite.
But the periwinkle kryptonite caused Superman to dance.
It gave the pink one only gave him gay tendencies.
Oh yeah, just
this
a little
one
bit.
Made him fabulous.
I love that.
Yeah, so instead of heat vision he would just like shoot glitter out of his eyes. It's crazy.
Hey Superman, what'd you do today? Oh, I fought Lex Luthor and danced.
I'm trying to find the periwinkle one. I see the pink.
Pink K.
Just straight up says it right there. Makes Superman gay.
Yeah.
They weren't beating around the bush.
They're not pulling any punches.
They weren't trying to be coy about it or anything. They're just like, oh yeah, one of these pink rocks makes him gay.
Yeah, and kryptonite is what it is. It's parts of his old home planet. Yeah.
Sure.
So that was just from the West Hollywood of Krypton.
Yeah, absolutely. That's
West
all
Hollywood
it is.
Version of Krypton.
But what writer's room were they just like, listen, guys, we've made a lot of books. Anybody got any ideas? And then some homophobic guy's like, what if we get one of the kryptonites, like a pink kryptonite or something, makes him a queer, huh? What do you think about that?
Super queero.
Yeah. And everybody's like, that doesn't sound like a horrible idea.
Well, we haven't done it yet.
I hope they don't discuss this 30 years later when the world has evolved.
Yeah, right? Movie spinoff.
Yeah. That's crazy. So is it, how old was this?
This was actually 2003.
Oh, so not that long.
This
was,
it was actually, it was a bit of satire. They were trying to gently poke fun at the Silver Age of comics when that sort of stuff was
not
more admissible.
Yeah. That's interesting.
It's still pretty funny. It's still, I mean, it doesn't surprise me that it took that long to come up with that, because considering back in the day, they had, comic books were more
They had the Comics Code Authority as well that would have prevented something that would have been too explicit, like being fabulous.
Yeah, yeah, fabulous. Here's something. This is completely non-related to any of this. I recently learned this. Speaking of learning things, I read a tweet my brother tweeted, and this will be a short story to how I figured out about this. My brother just recently realized that the root. And the word root beer is derived from the fact that root beer was originally flavored with roots from plants. So I was looking further into my brother's timeline on Twitter, and he mentioned the Bader-Meinhof phenomenon. Now, I read this Bader-Meinhof phenomenon, and I'm like, okay, what is that? So I looked into it. And the Bader-Meinhof phenomenon is the phenomenon where one happens upon some obscure place of information, often an unfamiliar word or name, and soon afterwards encounters the same subject again. So if you're reading something and you hear a phrase or a term, and it sticks out in your brain, and then the next day you see it again, and the third day you see it again, that's the Bader-Meinhof phenomenon.
So that's like a cognitive bias where it's just your brain locks into that phrase, and you just you know, pick it out.
Because that's where a lot of like coincidences come from, is we think it's a coincidence, but it's just our brain recognizing a beginning and an ending to a pattern of something that's
like
new.
I wanted to buy a yellow car a long time ago. I was 10 years or something. Then I started noticing all the how many yellow cars are on the street.
Yep.
Like, oh, there's a lot of yellow cars now that I think of it.
Yep.
Well,
it's like in Grand Theft Auto when you hijack a minivan, then all of a sudden every car on the street is that minivan.
Yeah, it's exactly that. You don't notice yellow cars until you start looking to buy one. And then your brain's got that ingrained, okay, well, then all of a sudden you start noticing them.
Sure.
It's the Bader-Meinhof phenomenon, which
they should have put a better name to it.
Well, coincidentally enough, I'm reading here on the daminteresting.com. This is where I found this information. The Bader-Meinhof phenomenon, they're unsure of whoever came up with that name for that. But there was a German guerrilla group, a guerrilla warfare group that was named the Bader-Meinhof. So,
yeah, the Bader-Meinhof gang. That actually inspired that movie, The Bader-Meinhof Complex.
Okay. Yeah, it was a German urban guerrilla group which went by the name Bader-Meinhof. So they think, supposedly, whoever came up with this idea learned recently about the
they started seeing far-left guerrilla groups everywhere.
Yeah. Everywhere.
Well, what a lot of German facts today we're going through.
Yeah, because they're sehr gut.
Well,
let's take things over to Southeast Asia first.
Sure,
for a second. Because,
I was about to ask you to.
Yeah, well, you might not after this, because if you're planning a vacation to Malaysia anytime soon,
sure.
You might want to go there for have a good time, like a sexy vacation, but beware, because blowjobs are illegal in Malaysia and carry a maximum penalty of 20 years in prison.
Hey, they'll never catch me. They'll never catch me.
Never catch me.
You can also be sentenced
to
whipping.
Is that just receiving or giving? Because I don't plan on giving.
Yeah, I wasn't going to give any blowjobs.
It's not clear. It's oral sex is described as carnal intercourse against the order of nature under Section 37.7A of the Penal Code in Malaysia.
Hey, okay. Malaysia, keep your laws on my body.
Yeah. Keep your government mouth off my...
What so I don't, you know what, if I was in Malaysia and I was having a good time with a young lady and the cops busted in while she was giving me a blowjob, I'd just be like, get her! She's a criminal!
Help!
Get her! What's happening?
It's a drive-by!
Get her! This was a...
That's the thing, is like...
This was a sting.
Like, how do you get caught? If you're getting down to the business,
let's be honest. This is one of those things that's like a real old thing. That
I think it's because
there's lots of laws that aren't enforced.
I think it might be part and parcel of Sharia law, which had an influence in some of their policies. I was also reading that while it's considered illegal, it's not abnormal. A lot of Malaysian couples participate in oral sex.
They ain't afraid.
Anal sex is illegal, too.
Sure.
So,
that why when I look at certain porns from Asian countries, their wieners are all blurred out?
That's a Japanese...
They don't want them to identify the wiener to get arrested.
Exactly, scene of the crime.
Yeah. what if they recognize my wiener? Don't worry, we'll blur it in editing. Yeah. She's running the risk. Her face is in the video.
Oh, he's the guy with the blurry dick.
Yeah. I wouldn't be able to pick his wiener out of a lineup.
These are all blurry.
Speaking of countries, while we're at it here, here's a little little fact. Russia, you can actually see, believe it or not, you can see parts of Russia from Alaska. There's two little islands within a short distance of each other, a little less than 2.5 miles apart. Big Diomede is an island which sits in Russian territory. And Little Diomede sits in the part of the United States Alaskan territory, and on a clear day, you can actually see parts of each island from each other. So technically, you can see Russia from Alaska.
So Sarah Palin was not, in fact,
she wasn't blowing smoke up our collective asses. She just, I mean, you can on a clear day,
kind of like how in Los Angeles on a clear day you can see a couple streets over.
Correct. So that's a little thing, a side note, which is coincident, you know, interesting, because when it's really cold, you can technically walk from Alaska to Russia, then, like the ancestors did many, many years ago.
We got to get our border patrol up there.
Yeah, and here's something fun. You can, when you can see the island from Alaska, the Big Diomede in Russian sits on the other side of the international dateline, so you're actually looking into the future.
Oh, wow.
From Alaska. So you're seeing tomorrow.
Sure.
You just know that some shit is going to go down there sometime soon. Like, the planets are going to align,
sure.
The ice bridge will form, and then, like, a time portal will just erupt.
Oh, man.
I hope.
There you go.
I like that Sarah Palin was right.
Yeah.
Makes me happy.
She wasn't completely wrong, yeah.
Although, much like coffee table limitations, the statute of limitations on her being considered correct has also expired.
That's right, yeah. No, we've just all accepted. She's
a moron. We've just moved on.
Some wolf-shooting freak.
Thankfully, she just kept digging.
That's right.
Well, let's continue our world tour, and this time we'll go to the UK in Britain. The British Army, I know.
Just kidding.
Not for everyone, but, you know, they technically created us, so
yeah. But if you like biscuits and cigarettes, let's do it.
I prefer them inside, just nice pasty.
Yeah, nice cigarette biscuit.
Yeah.
That's their thing.
And you just dip it with some clotted cream. Perfect. But the British Army, and this is going to appeal to a lot of people who really dread doing laundry, the British Army has underwear that you can wear for 3 months at a time.
Yeah, well, I think you can do that with any underwear. We just choose not to.
Well, this is specifically designed. It's made from artificial fibers for comfort, and there's silver particles woven into the seams to prevent sweating.
Oh, jeez.
It's, you know, it's coated to prevent bacterial infection, and one Colonel Silas Suchenik said they've tried to arrange the seams so that they don't chafe. So at least there's that. Because if you're a sniper, something like that, you're not going to be moving for hours and hours.
Yeah, never 3 months, though. I think that might be a little long.
That's when if you have worn your underwear for 3 months, that's when you just get straight up discharged.
Like, after 7 days, you go back to base camp, they're like, hey, you know, you can change them. You don't have to do the whole 3 months.
Yeah.
Nah, they're fine.
Yeah, but just think about those poor people who had to, like, do quality assurance testing on these underwear.
It's the worst.
Yeah.
Well, they're,
So that's four pairs of underwear a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, essentially, if worn correctly.
No laundry, just the four underwear.
Here's a side note, though, which is interesting. This article that mentions when this underwear was developed and released was 2005. Prior to then, the British soldiers actually had to supply their own undergarments. So it's like, you can fight for our country and fight for our freedom, but you got to supply.
Yeah, you got to bring your own bloomers.
You got to bring your own fruit of the loom.
Which is crazy, though. Like, I don't know much about our military either. Do they have?
Yeah,
very true. Do they have to bring their own underwear? Or do they get underwear?
I'd like to think in the billions of budget and R&D we spend on military, I'd like to think our soldiers get free underwear.
It's hard to tell. I'd like to know.
You get one free pair when you sign up.
We're opening up the phone lines.
But the rest is up to you.
We're taking calls.
Are you in the military? Do you wear underwear?
Did they give you underwear? I'd like to know.
What's in your pants?
Maybe that care package I send to our soldiers is going to have some Fruit of the Loom in it.
Exactly.
Some H&M designer edition.
Let's not get carried away.
Yeah.
I'm on a budget.
The smiley face Joe boxers.
Yeah, I'm not giving these soldiers better underwear than what I wear.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem fair.
Since we're on the topic of Brits.
Okay.
I think this is a podcast that doesn't need segues, guys.
I think, yeah, exactly.
Let's just do it.
Well, this is related. That's why.
Okay, well, if we're not going segues here, why don't you give us another rat fact, Mr. Sir?
Yeah, quick little rat fact to break up all this continental.
Rat fact. Rats do not have canine teeth. Rat fact!
Okay.
That's true.
Do they have incisors?
No,
they have molars?
That's hard to say.
They just got little rat teeth?
I just know they don't have canines.
I don't know what they have in their mouth. I just know they don't have canines.
No canine teeth.
Duly noted.
Alrighty, you were bringing us
so,
back up.
So, back to Britain. The role of James Bond, traditionally played by a Brit. However, in the past, it has been offered to several actors not of British descent, including Adam West, Clint Eastwood, and Burt Reynolds, but they all turned it down because they felt ardently in their heart of hearts that it should be played by a British man.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
So they were... And it generally was, I believe, right? Up until Daniel Craig.
Yeah, well, he's... what is he?
Australian.
Yes.
Right?
What? I thought he was...
Isn't he? I could be wrong. Okay, well then what? Is Timothy Dalton one of them? I know... We'll look it up here.
I could have sworn that Craig is...
Is British.
He's
but he's blonde.
He's English.
Okay. But he's a blonde. That was where.
That's the thing. That's the thing.
Is that James Bond is generally a dark.
Yes, more like James Blonde.
James Blonde.
Someone might have said
James Bond, which Moonraker. Do you have more about? James
I have. Bond? I have a list of people that were offered the role and turned it down.
Okay, let's hear.
All right, Ewan McGregor in 2005 turned it down for fear of being typecast as too handsome and dangerous.
Okay.
Jackman. Hugh Jackman also in 2005. He wasn't satisfied with the plot direction. Liam Neeson, 94, was not interested in starring in action movies. Who knew that one day we would get two Takens and one Taken with Wolves?
And Qui-Gon Jinn.
Yeah. Exactly.
And that skit by Key and Peele. If you haven't seen it, look it up.
That is terrific.
Liam Neeson and Bruce Willis.
Maybe that's what happened in the Wolf flick. What was that called?
The Gray.
Maybe that's what happened in The Gray. He was like, listen, I don't do action movies, so you're just going to have to make it real boring the whole time. And then when I'm about to kill some wolves, end the movie.
Exactly.
Don't show it, because I hate action.
Yeah.
Because that was the slowest, most boring movie I've ever seen in my life.
If you want to relive that experience, there's a video on YouTube called Liam Neeson Stares at You for 10 Hours.
Yeah.
It's just that scene of him, staring cold, dead-eyed, about to kill some wolves.
They showed previews of a man about to fight some wolves. He's got like the broken mini bottles on his hands, and it looks like he's about to beat up some wolves. And then you go to the movie, you're like, I came to see some wolf punching. Nothing.
Exactly.
Not a single wolf fight.
You know, and that's disappointing in particular because he really delivered in Taken.
Yeah.
You just want to see him kick some ass.
Yeah, I want to see him kick. That's why I watch these things. It's frustrating.
Back to talking about movies. We don't need segues, but we got one. This is a perfect segue. Talking about James Bond, Roger Moore was in Moonraker, which was one of the more campier versions of episodes of James Bond franchise, and it took place going to the moon. Speaking about going to the moon, Neil Armstrong, believe it or not, he almost didn't make it into the NASA flight program.
Really?
Yeah, and in June of 1962, Armstrong learned that NASA was looking for its second group of astronauts. He submitted his application, but it actually arrived about a week after the applications were due. But Neil Armstrong had a friend working at NASA who put his application inside and up into the top, and that's how he got hired to be in NASA. So
really,
you always need a friend.
Always a friend
who can
places,
slip
man.
Your application.
It's who you know. He could have not been the first man to walk on the moon there, which is interesting.
Some people believe that he didn't.
Yeah.
Well, he was the first man to walk on Stanley Kubrick's moon set.
That's true. Which I'm fine with.
Yeah. Did you guys see that movie Capricorn 1 with O.J. Simpson about that? It was about basically a very similar to faking. Instead of faking the moon landing, I believe it was about, from what I remember, the movie was about faking the Mars landing.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And it had O.J. Simpson and a couple other actors as the astronauts, and the government was going through and like killing them off so that way the secret can't get out that they faked the whole Mars landing.
Well, if you do believe that the moon landing was a hoax, I recommend you not telling the astronauts to their
or
face.
You will get punched in the
face.
Neil
Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin cracked a guy right in the face because at an old age. Not even that long. It was like 5 or 6 years ago, or maybe a little longer, like 8 years ago.
Yeah,
punched a guy right in the face and on camera, and the cops were still like, "Well, he shouldn't have been a dick."
Yeah,
like
that's like awesome. Don't be a dick to a national hero.
What are we gonna arrest Buzz Aldrin?
Yeah.
He's the first man on the moon.
Yeah, second man on the moon.
Only
the moon can judge him.
Yeah. That's right.
That's awesome. I would also, if you believe the moon landing was faked, have we got a job opportunity for you? If you just send us a couple blank checks, we'll invest it in a new startup company we're forming. It'll make you millions.
Well, that's the thing is Lance Bass is trying to go to the space or something like that.
Yeah.
He's been trying for years. But I think he'll actually be able to do it soon because companies like SpaceX are eventually going to start chartering flights.
What I don't understand is like
SpaceX and Virgin Galactic.
He's already like raised like $5 million or something like that. And it's like, if I have any money to donate, I'm going to probably give it to sick children.
Not an aging pop star?
Yeah. No, I'm not going to give a pop star money to go to the moon.
It's been a while since NSYNC, and he is not as successful as
it
Justin Timberlake.
I will never send someone to the moon before I give little sick children money. I'll give animals money I'll give it to Lance
Bass. Well, Virgin Galactic, believe it or not, he's raising Virgin Galactic, Richard Branson.
Rebel billionaire Richard Branson?
Rebel brilliant, yeah.
I'd like to encourage Lance Bass right here on this podcast to give all the money they've raised to sick children.
Do it up.
And send them to space.
Don't send anybody to space. We're done with space.
Virgin Galactic only charges, from what I remember when they were taking, you know, a wait list, I think it was $250,000 for it. Now, granted, you're not going up huge into space. You're just hitting the cusp of the gravity and of the arc.
It's like the biggest Tower of Terror ever created.
Yeah, that's all it is. It's which, I mean, I love the Tower of Terror. If I had a, you know, if I had a bankroll, I would probably do that. But, you know, because you get to see the full curve of the Earth. And you feel weightlessness for a little bit. But
Another fun fact, a website called LunarRegistry.com will actually sell you land on the moon for $18.95 an acre.
One of those scams.
Right?
That's my least favorite thing, man. I think that's just a shame. People are like, hey, buy a star for your girlfriend. Uh-huh. A star you'll never see, who you probably don't know exists.
You're paying someone to print out a piece of paper.
Yeah, I'll do that too. If that's what you want. If you want to buy a star, email me at jeffdye.com.
Yeah.
I'll print you. Pick any star you want. I'll give you the North Star for the right price for all I care. It's like they're giving away things that don't even belong to us. It's nonsense. Hey, while I wasn't talking, I was looking up on the internet. You know that movie with Liam Neeson, The Gray, that crappy movie?
Yeah.
I remember watching it thinking, like, I could probably beat up a wolf.
Right? Okay.
Like one wolf. Like one four wolf. Or even two. Mm-hmm. Forget about it. That's a wrap. I'm going to die.
Yeah.
But in survival mode, do you guys really think you could beat up one wolf?
One wolf. If I had like full winter attire, like
no, just like what he had, like winter clothing.
Yeah, but like my arms were covered.
Exactly, your arms are covered a little bit, so you're not immediately just gonna get.
I'm not gonna get
like jacked up.
Exactly, like my arms are covered at least.
Let's say you're wearing no shirt and he bites into your arm right there. You still have this hand. You still have one arm to like break his neck or something.
I think I would be pretty thoroughly savaged, but I could kill a single wolf.
If I'm in the vicinity of a wolf, that means I would assume I'm in the vicinity of trees with branches that I could use as some sort of
I'm telling you, I could kill one wolf. I'm sure of it. And I think I could kill a wolf right now in my kitchen. But I believe, especially if my life's on the line, adrenaline kicks in, I'm going to kill a wolf.
Would you be able to survive from the aftermath, though?
I'll probably die out, like lose blood and be in the... But that wolf's dead.
That wolf's dead.
I'd like to take a less violent route. I would probably just pee on the wolf to assert my dominance and then start my own pack.
No, we're talking about survival right now, and
this wolf is here to bite my dick off.
Bite your dick off. And so, also, while I wasn't talking, we're going to post this on the podcast. Hopefully you guys have this kind of technology available.
I think so.
This is how big the wolves are. This is a photo I found on the internet. So, because I remember after the movie, I was running my mouth about how I could kill a wolf. And then I was like, plus they made them too big, those CGI wolves. Yeah. They made them all gigantic. I've never seen a wolf that big. There are wolves as big as the movie suggests.
Okay. So for those of you who can't see the picture, we'll obviously link to that in the comment section.
It's a giant
wolf. If this is a small man, it's still a 5-foot wolf, but it's probably closer to 6 feet.
It resembles it's like a black version of a dire wolf from Game of Thrones.
Exactly.
Like
it's pretty,
like a small child could ride this wolf.
Oh, yeah, easily. Yeah, mm-hmm. Like an elementary school kid.
Yeah, yeah.
So you see that photo, but I still think I could kill one.
I'd like to think I could. I think now, Jeff, you're in TV. You could pitch that to you're on a bunch of shows. Jeff Dye fights a wolf. Well, that's a television show on TBS or Spike TV.
Let me just
right
tell
there.
You how happy that makes me. Wolf fights.
Let's pitch a show where Jeff Dye fights animals.
Yeah, I love that. You name an animal, I'll beat the hell out of it.
If PETA will let us, we'll have to go to Japan because they'll put anything on television.
Could you kill more wolves than a fifth grader?
I'll smash a wolf. Well, one thing is interesting, I don't know if you guys know this. If you ever go to Montana or you ever go to any of these places who generally don't like animals that much in the first place, so this isn't that shocking, but this is a little fact for you. These places hate wolves. It's the best way to friend a farmer or something like that is to make fun of wolves or talk trash about wolves because it's an agriculture thing where the wolves come in and they like mess with all their stuff and scare away, I don't know what it is, but they hate wolves.
Mm-hmm. They hate wolves.
So if you're ever in some Montana or Idaho or someplace like that, start talking trash about the wolves, people are going
to
love it.
Good to know. I've always had trouble connecting with them.
You have that in common.
Yeah.
If you're trying to hitchhike in Montana, just make a sign that says, I hate wolves.
I hate wolves. Can I have a ride?
Can I have a ride? I hate wolves. Are you going to Cleveland?
Not a murderer.
Yeah. We have a lot to talk about. We both hate wolves. We're both going to Tuscaloosa.
We both happen to be here.
Yeah.
All right. So, trying to leave. Unfortunately, we are... approaching that time. We're going to wrap things up. Jeff, can we get one more rat fact?
One more rat fact style?
A rat, full-sized rat, can squeeze into your house in a hole that's the size of a quarter.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty gross. Their bones are stay solid, but everything else can just kind of mush through whatever.
My God.
Rat fact!
Rat fact. That speaking of quarters, speaking of quarters, my buddy just told me this. I was talking to him on the way here. He was quarters from 1964 and prior, you can sell them for quite a bit of money on eBay due to the silver content that was used to make quarters prior to 1964.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about this.
So if any of you have a quarter prior to 1964, you might be able to get more than 25 cents for it on the internet.
Hold
maybe
on
like 38 cents.
Exactly.
Yeah, or you could, 50.
You could buy a stamp nowadays, which is like 48.
You could buy one stamp, but you still need another tinier one to send a letter. Yeah.
I was just an interesting little, not a fact, but I would love to just quiz you guys. Do you guys as parents collect the quarters? I feel like every mom collects the quarters.
Oh, yeah. I actually was a bank teller for a little while, so.
How annoying was that? All the middle-aged ladies like, is the new Idaho quarter out yet? And you're like, get out of here. It's a quarter, ding dong. My mom, she's like, she collects it for all three of us kids, but she won't let us have them.
Yeah.
She has them like in these like leather books that she got off QVC or whatever, and each quarter has a spot for each state, and I don't know if she's keeping up with it still, but I remember talking trash to her about it, like, oh, I don't want that. I'm not going to have it.
No.
And she's like, well, someday you'll thank me. I was like, or someday I'll sell it for $12.50.
Someday I'll need to do my laundry badly.
The exact worth of those quarters. That's what I'm going
to
sell it for.
I'll take the leather book and go to Little Caesars with it.
Right, it's pointless.
Man. All right, folks, this has been Today We Learned with Razzle and Dan. Our guest again has been Jeff Dye, Jeff Dye on Twitter. And Jeff, where can our listeners
What do you got coming up?
Let's see, you have anything coming up you want to promote?
Let's say this will be airing in 2 weeks.
Sure, I'm going to be in Side Splitters in Tampa, May 20-something. Down the road.
Down the road. What do you got coming up in June?
Money from Strangers season 2 is coming out real soon on MTV.
Okay,
and then also on Girl Code, which is on MTV, which airs every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday,
excellent.
10:30. Yeah,
and your website www.jeffdye.com.
That's it. I'm pretty easy to find.
All right, so folks, you heard it here. You learned something. Hopefully, if you have any facts for us, hit us up on Twitter at osteoferocious or at my name is Razzle 2.
The number 2, not to be confused with. The word T-O-O.
Exactly.
Or T-W-O.
Or T-W-O.
Just T-O.
Or T-O.
Yeah. Terrell Owens, it doesn't. That's his exact email address, so he doesn't want that.
Oh, really?
No, it's not.
That's cool. My name is Razzle2, or at Osteoferocious, at Jeff Dye. We want to thank you for listening to Today We Learned. Go out there and learn something, and tell your friends.
Right on.
Thank you.
Come on.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, man.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It was fun.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.